That stuff didn't happen that long enough.
Lock,
that
was after the
seed. Verse 2. Whatever precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have it turned in. But Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. I'm singing glory to His name. We'll keep singing glory to His name, precious name. I'm singing glory to His name, precious name. Oh, there to my heart was the blood of God. I'm singing glory to His name. Come to the fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at thy Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. I'm singing glory to His name. I keep singing glory to His name, precious name. I'm singing glory to His name, precious name. Oh, dear to my heart was the blood of Christ. I'm singing glory to His name. I keep singing glory to His name, precious name. I'm singing glory to His name, precious name. There to my heart was the blood of God. I'm singing glory to His name. Let us prepare for our invocation. And then get ready for communion. Bow with me if you would. Father God, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father, we come to you this morning, this evening, today, thanking you the very best we know how. Thanking you, Father, for just giving us the weather that we have. If it's too warm, we can put some air on. We thank you for that. If it's too cold, we can put some heat on. We thank you for that, or cover up even more. Father, we're just so thankful for the ability to just be able to experience the various, and feel the various temperature changes. Father, we love you. We adore you so very much, and we come to you this evening. In regards to everyone that's here tonight, we ask you to continue to strengthen them and bless them in their walk. Be with them in their talk and give them the strength to go forward. Special prayer today for Will Collins, who asked us to pray for him. And he's praying for sin. He's sinned. And his repent of that sin, asking you to forgive him as we know you already have. But you said for us to ask and it shall be given. Seek we shall find and knock and the door shall be open. So Brother Rowe is a great brother. As you continue to strengthen him and his mother and his family in a very powerful way. Also, we get a prayer request from Sister Rhonda Hambrick. She says, always pray for herself and her family, for strength, for unity, for just the ability to keep going on. Father, you know the details. We spelled them out over time. Father, but we ask you to continue to be with her and strengthen her as she is growing a deeper relationship with thee. And it's interesting how we get older, we start to really understand some of the things that we've overlooked a little bit. As her children are getting older, and now she wants to continue to lead them and be that example for them, that they too will understand that the only place to go when you think you've been everywhere else is to God. For God is that elevator of love that will always take you to the next level. You are a success story with the Lord. And so we're just so thankful for that. Pray for Carla Dawson and her family today. Ask you to bless her and keep her where she so readily stands in need of. Praying for Big Joe Thomas today. Ask you to bless him and strengthen him in the way he stands in need of. He's getting better. So glad to see that. As you strengthen him, Yahshua, bless him and keep them. Praying for Luke Miles Sr. and John Thomas and Sister Kim Miles and all the Miles family. Sister Pookie and the rest of them. Praying for Bishop D. Thaddeus Anderson today, who's on with us. We ask you to bless him and keep him where, as you know, he stands in need of. Father, continue to strengthen him and let the word of God continue to penetrate all of us as we continue to want to be better service for thee. Father, we're praying for Janice Southwick, Rose, one of my old classmates. Ask you to bless and keep her where she stands in need of. That song's to Luke Miles Jr., praying for him and his family, praying for Trey and Nia, and ask you just to bless them in ways they stand in need of, the entire Miles family. Special prayer today going out for LaTanya Anderson. Ask you to bless her and keep her in ways she really stands in need of as well. Praying today to Leanne Johnson. Ask you to be with her, strengthen her in ways that she stands as well. My wife, while I was praying for my wife and myself, that we continue to be, allow you to mold us on that pie as clay on a pottery wheel. Continue to work with us so we'll be able to function in the very capacity you have us to be. Father, we're praying for our families. I ask you to continue to bless them and keep them aware they stand in need of, individually as well as collectively. Always praying for our mothers, for all those individually, and we'll continue to pray for them accordingly. As we get ready to go on today's lesson, we ask you to continue to strengthen us when we're weak, build us up when we're strengthen us when we're wrong, build us when we're weak, and correct us when we're wrong. Continue to give us that shining light that we need. God, as we're approaching our gospel meeting in September, we ask you to just continue to make a way and continue to be the provider that we need, that it will draw many, and that those will come will be edified by the words spoken about faith from Brother Lugo. Father, we love you. We adore you on this day. We're just so thankful, and we just don't want to be remiss. We want to continue to pray for the Maywood congregation who has lost an elder. Pray for Sister Wanda Flowers, who has lost her husband, and the entire Flowers family. And we just ask you to be with all those that Paul Flowers has touched and continue to strengthen him. We're thankful for Brother Holy Shabazz and for the sermons and the workshop that he's doing on Saturday, so as you continue to bless him and keep him in the way he stands in need of as well. And all these blessings we ask in Jesus Christ's name, we humbly approach your throne of grace. Let's collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. Communion time. It's communion time. At last I did my Savior bleed. And did my soul burn out? I see a Jonathan Hale. Praise God for you. Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? It was at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy of the day. The drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I've can do. It was at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart was bent by faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen. Now we come down to this portion of service where we partake of the Lord's Supper. We find in Acts 27, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. I see your brother John Austin out there in Minnesota. Praise God for you, my brother, and your wife. Community time. Paul continued teaching in 1 Corinthians 11, chapter beginning in verse 23. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, unleavened bread. And after he broke it, he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner, he also took the cup after he had supped, saying that this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. But let a man examine himself, for he that eateth the bread and drinketh the cup unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many were sick and weakly among you, and many did sleep." Let us give thanks for the bread and the wine. Father God, thank you for this bread, which is your broken body, and this cup, which is your shedded blood. We pray we'll take it with clean hands and a pure heart as we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. All these blessings we ask in Christ Jesus' name. Let's collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. You may now take of the bread and the wine. Amen. I know it was the blood, oh yes, and I know it was the blood, oh yes, and I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Christ died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Amen. If you have a copy of God's manuscript, we'll be in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8 today. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. The Bible says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials," or your translation may say diverse manners, "knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." But let patience have her what? Perfect work. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking wisdom. Good to see you, Brother Wilbur Cook. Pastor Wilbur Cook, good to see you, my brother. Good to have you with us this evening. We're in James chapter 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. James has an interesting viewpoint. And I love the fact because this isn't James, the son of one of the Biogeny brothers, James and John's brother. This is James, the half-brother of Jesus. And he wants us to know that good accounting and accountability is so important for the family of God. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God, meaning that it's God-breathed, and it's profitable, right? It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished into all good works. Well, James tells us that we ought to know what joy is and to be able to stack our joy as we as youngins used to stack Legos log cabins. You stack them. Count it all joy. That word count is an accounting term, meaning you need to really take time and take a look at what God has done for you. Take a clean piece of paper on one side. Write down the things that are bothering you, the things you want to ask God for, the things you need prayer for. And then on the other side, start a list of what God has done for you in spite of. I'm here to tell you, if you're honest about it, you'll need more paper than just that one side of paper. You need more paper than just a whole ream of paper on both sides. We serve a God that blesses us even when we're asleep. We serve a God that even though you think you have great driving skills, God navigates you to keep people from hitting you. We serve a God that helps you to make it through the day, a God that wakes you in the morning and provides for you when you don't deserve provision. We serve a God that gives us great health when we should have been dead. Come on now, somebody. So you should be able to count it all joy. Right, because all things work together for the good of the Lord according to God's purpose. You need to count it all joy. What about the bad times? Count it all joy. Those enemies, count it all joy. Those haters you deal with, count it all joy. People that are backstabbing you, count it all joy. Why? Because when you fall into various trials, our situation is we need to learn how to deal with trials, and we need to learn how to rejoice when a trial or a challenge comes our way. We no longer have problems when we're with God. What we have are challenges that are character building. And God wants to take you to the next level because he's not concerned about your comfort. He's concerned about our character. Count it all joy when we fall into various trials or diverse temptations. I like the wording here, falling. As you fall into something, that means that you're unstable. That means that you don't have a solid balance. That means you're wavering. You may have one foot on an oil slick and the other foot on a banana peel. But God says, count them anyhow. Because the experience that you're going to receive, you may not understand it right now. Amen, somebody. But what you get right now will be profitable when someone else is going through the same thing. And you will be the example. You will be the mouthpiece to be able to say, you can make it. Because look at my track record. Look at what God did for me. Show somebody God in your life. One of the reasons we have such difficulty in evangelism is we don't show people God in our life. We want to show even us that if we died on the cross for somebody. So when you deal with trials, learn how to rejoice with a hater doing you wrong, when somebody backstabbed you at work. Learn how to smile. Learn how to chuckle a little bit. They don't know what God's doing with you. They recognize you're on their mind, so you're occupying time that they should be working on themselves. Give God praise for them being able to have an example of a God-fearing person in their presence. Count them all joy. Stack them up when you fall into diverse temptation or various trials. Then it says, knowing this. Knowing what? Knowing that the testing or the trying of your faith produces patience. So you need to understand that what you are going through was a purpose to produce something. It's almost like a seed planted in the ground, and he wants to see the plant come up. Why? Because it's supposed to be fruit. When my faith is tested, it's supposed to produce patience. Maybe that's the reason why some of us don't have so much patience, because we keep running from the test. Face your test, folks. Throw your hands up, Lord. Thank you for the test. Let me learn how to work through the maze of life. Let me learn how to be with you in the midst of my trial. I like the word knowing because it's an intimate word. It's not just, okay, it's an acquaintance. It's really getting to the nitty-gritty of the situation, piercing the situation. God has an intimate relationship with his children. He knows the very fiber of you. He knows the thoughts you think before you thunk it. And he knows the DNA you have before you even received it. So knowing this at the trying of your faith, God knows you. Do you understand that if don't nobody else know us, God knows us? There's the things you hide from your parents. There's the things that you hide from your best friend. There's the things that husbands have hidden from their wives and spouses have hidden from their husbands. There's the things you hide from your children. There's the things you try not to. So skeletons, you don't want nobody to know. But God knows you. And what he knows about you is that that's who you used to be and is not who you're supposed to be today. You have to use it as a diving board to spring off, so that you will be able to make a big splash in someone's life by the experience of showing what God has done in your life. It produces patience. The next time you deal with a problem, you realize, man, God carried me through this trial, so I don't have to be on edge. I can back up a little bit, take a deep breath, and understand what patience is. Oh, I'm not saying it's not going to deal with your emotions. I'm not saying that the trial is not going to affect you. I'm saying, but you have to be able to determine how you're going to let the trial dictate what your response is going to be to the trial. See, God wants us to respond differently than those of the world. He wants us to be able to hold on to God's unchanging hand. We don't serve those who have no hope. But we cry. We shout. We wail. We pray. But we get up. Because with the law of the resurrection principle is effective immediately. And all you got to do is hold on to God's unchanging hand. Or as my wife said, keep your little hand in God's big hand. Everything's going to be all right. So knowing that the trying of your faith be tested. We need to learn how to speak life to ourselves, and we need to understand that we must be challenged. My faith must be challenged so it can produce what God wants produced in my life. Not only for me, but for others to see. And God is the audience. God is the audience. When you run from your trial, God is there. That's why so many times we find ourselves feeling like we're on that proverbial hamster wheel going round and round and round. It seems like we can't get away from the situation. We may move from here and move from there. See, different people, different faces, but we got the same old problem. Why? Because you have not faced the problem. You have not dealt with it the way God wants it. God wants the problem to produce patience. And patience means to remove all the air or all the level of confusion out of it, all the agitation out of it, so that you can be calm and you can continue to move as God would have for you to move. Your faith must be tried. Why tested, Brother Preacher? I'm so glad you asked that question, because a test proves worthiness. And we serve a God that we are unworthy, that we need to prove ourselves to be better day in and day out. And he gives us the ability, the strength to keep climbing the mountain. Or you may slip and fall, but get back up. Grab a hold to the lifeline. Don't run from your test. Allow your test to be tried, your faith to be tried. So we all many times have different tests. Some of them are similar, and we empathize and sympathize with one another. But do you understand that your test is unique to you, and my test is unique to me? Me and my wife are one, but there's things that bother her that don't bother me, and things that bother me that don't bother her. So God will work on those things to help her become stronger in those areas and fortify me in the areas I need to be fortified in. Amen, somebody. Come on now. We need to understand that we serve a great God that wants to test us. See, you don't realize that what you're dealing with, you're in school. This life we live is nothing but a school. And we are in school. And in a school, in order for you to move into the next level, you have to pass the bar, or you have to pass a certain form of rules and regulations. You have to pass the test. Who wants to not graduate when the diploma or the Magna Charta is being in heaven with Jesus? I don't know about you, but that is the ultimate. But the text is that we must live faithful unto death to receive the crown of life, the reward that fadeth not away. So allow God to test your patience. Have the patience of Job. Job went through something. Lost family. Lost wealth. Lost reputation. Wife talking crazy to him. Friends didn't know what to say. When they went to open their mouth, they should have never opened it in the first place. And on and on and on. Body sores. Satan was really was putting it all in Job. Because he thought he would prove to God, I can break him. But God knew Job intimately like he knows you intimately. And he knows that if you stay with him, you and God are victorious. You're more than a conqueror. And you can make Satan, resist Satan, and he will flee. So once your faith has been tested and patience has been produced, Now, notice what happens with the patience. Our level of patience must grow and must mature. So we have elementary patience that needs to mature, that needs to graduate to a higher level. Look at the text, verse 4. But let patience have its perfect work. The patience that you have now, you'll be able to utilize in that spiritual realm in order to do the work that when you do that, that agitated people can do. The word perfect here does not mean without flaw. It means to mature, to grow, to be perfected. It's a developmental process. So your patience must always be developed. Because there's always somebody, always something messing with your patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. That sounds like God wants wholeness. And folks, you will never be whole until you learn how to let trials that are dark on every hand not crush you, but you crush them for the Lord. Come on, somebody. Let patience have its perfect work. Patience has a purpose in your life. God has sent you to a situation that's only that's unique to your skill set. And unless you're in the right mindset, you won't handle it right. If you're not, if you have not let the things of life produce patience, then when you get with someone who has no patience, misery lacks company. But the balancing act is when it faces up against the kryptonite of God's spiritual patience that it breaks down confusion. Have you ever walked into a situation because you're there, it de-escalated? Or because you're there, it escalated? God wants us to be de-escalating problems because we serve a God that carries our load. Notice what verse 5 says. If any of you lacks wisdom, that word wisdom is a two-part word, meaning wise dominion. That means making the right decisions that you rule over. God has given us all stewardship over something. So if any of you lack what? You have the discernment to not give right decisions, let him ask of God. God is the provider. You don't have to go nowhere else. Go to God. I put you, I feel like I'm pulling my hair out. Ask God. I feel like things are just too much for me. Ask God for help. Reason why so many people are committing suicide is because they're not taking their burdens to the Lord. They think that they are the God. They are the solver. They can handle it. There's a lot of things you can't handle. Then if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now notice in the scripture, God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God is the source of liberal giving. He's not tight-fisted as some of us are. He's not robbing us and stealing from us the blessing that he has for us. He gives to us even when we don't deserve it. Amen, somebody. And he does it without reproach. He doesn't look negative. His giving does not have anything attached to it. You know, folks, when they I'm going to give you something, but now you owe me. What we owe God is our life. He laid his down for us. And he's giving us eternal salvation if we live for him. But we cannot run from the tests of life. Life happens. You cannot run from the tests of life because that works on your faith or your belief system in who God really is. Unless you believe that God is He, that Jesus is the Son of God, you will die in your sin. And if you die in your sin, where He is, you cannot go. I can't see Him. I don't need to see Him now. I know He's there. I feel Him. I walk with Him. I talk with Him. I don't visually need to see with my physical eyes. I need to see Him with my spiritual eyes. God gives to all liberally. I like that. We need to pause right there. Remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, Jesus Christ, would not perish but have everlasting life. But God did not give His Son into the world, did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him, through Jesus Christ, might be saved. So if you ask of God, God says Jesus is the one. He's the man. You don't know what a man is? Christ is the man. He's a God. Above all other gods. That's who we are to serve. He gives to all liberally and without reproach. The mindset of being able to give not only liberally, that means you're freely giving in spite of it. People get condemned from being, you're just liberal. You're not conservative. You're just liberal. You're just, God gives liberally. But He does it without reproach. He ain't going to backstab you when He gives you. He won't question you about what you've received. It was, it's for you, it's for you. And that's what we need to get to. I'm not competing with my neighbor. I'm not trying to keep up with the Joneses. The Joneses need to save themselves from this untoward generation. I'm working on myself, and I thank God that I understand that now. I don't let nobody bring me down. Because I'm ready to go up. And I can fly like an eagle with the Lord. Look at verse 6. But let him ask in faith. I can't even ask God unless I ask in faith. Now look at the connection here with verse 6 and verse number 3. Your faith must be tested, and you must know this, that God is in the test. Now, you may feel like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, being thrown in there for something they ain't done, but because of serving God. They won't bow. They won't obey somebody else's orders. But while they were in there, God was in there with them. So much so that they were called out without smoke on them, without a singe on them, with a glory on them. And he said, man, I saw three. I know he threw in three. And we had the testimony of everyone here that there was three thrown in. But when he looked in, he said, I see another one that looked like the Son of God. So we need to understand that God's in our test with us. I don't know what you're struggling with, but if you call on God, He will show His faith. He let you know I'm right here with you. I'm omnipresent. You don't walk alone. I'm carrying you through this. Let him ask in faith without doubting. Pause there. You need to underline that, highlight that, put it in a post-it note, stick it on your forehead. True faith comes without doubt. You have to work on. That's why we're developing. We're perfecting, right? So that as you walk with God and what you ask God for, God will give to you, and you don't doubt receiving. See, the problem is we don't have the patience, come on now, to wait on the Lord. God won't work on our time. God works on his time. So let's ask him for no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. I don't know about you, but here in Chicago, we live right next to Lake Michigan. And it's interesting if you watch Lake Michigan, because God has always used water and wind to handle his business. You can dictate or have some idea of what is to come based on how the water looks. Why do you say that? Because the water is a mirror image of the firmament of the sky above. So when you have clear blue skies, then you have blue, refreshing water. Picture postcard water, like you're in Tortola, the British Isles. But have you ever seen that water turn gray, turn brownish, and you wonder why? Because there is turbulence in the water. You'll see waves and foaming come up. You'll see it. The water is higher now than it has been in a while, and you'll see the waves start to come. Well, if the waves keep coming, it will become more coarse, and that's the sign that a storm is on its way. You have clouds, storm clouds above, whether it's raining yet or not, they are dark above, and now you have a different color in the water. Why do you say this? Well, we are the mirror image of our faith. What we are showing is how we really are. So we need to understand that God controls the wind. You don't know which way the wind is. The only indicator you have is the ability to feel. And because we can feel, then we can see which way the wind is blowing, or you have a wind machine or a windmill or something that's turning that says, okay, it's blowing this way. The flags are blowing in this direction. So we have an east wind. But what happens when the wind starts spinning and starts going around? You take control of the wind. Now, if there's dust and particles in the wind, then you get a chance to see something that's going on that's in the wind, but you can't control the wind. But you understand that the Spirit of God is wind. And when the wind of the Spirit is in you, you are not being able to control it. God is in control of your life. And God will lead you places in the Spirit that you won't go on your own. Don't doubt, don't be afraid. Trust God. See, it produces patience, it produces a God to take us to this test, that will take us to the next test, it will take us to the next test, right? And so as we stay with God and we continue to be producing, we continue to be, our faith continues to be built up, then we too continue to have more step and more experience with God. You cannot buy experience at the dime store. You can't buy it in jewels. You have to go through the testing of your faith. You think I'm lying? Talk to someone that's older than you. Say someone that's, I've done 54 now. So I talk to people that are 70 and 80, sometimes 90, if I get a chance. 110 was the top that I was able to talk to. What is the secret? Staying married 50 years. What is the secret of being able to continue? And you understand they have a simple answer. that we've become so educated and so complicated that we have really killed ourselves and we're committing suicide and taking life off us, off our life, when we just need to simplistically live life. Do you understand that whatever your storm is, Jesus can speak to your storm and tell it to shut up, and it will calm down and be quiet? You may be in a dark, cloudy, tornadic situation, and all of a sudden, the hurricane is gone, and you have clear skies. Why? Because God spoke to your storm. Has the Lord ever carried you through something? Ask him in faith without doubting. Allow God to work at his time and not yours. Many times God is working it out, but you become so agitated that you've given up. So as God has you and he's getting ready to bring it to you, you've already thrown in the towel. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. If you've ever been out on the water in a boat, and it's turbulent, you feel that, and the rudder, they're trying to run the water through, but sometimes it goes up, sometimes all of a sudden, you know, if it's too much rocking, you've got to tie yourself down. But it's just a little turbulence that frightens us and scares us. It was interesting. I don't know if you watched, I think it was Steve Harvey today, but one of the shows we watched it, and he said, my wife, and they asked the question, when you're in a plane and you hit some turbulence, what will you say? And people says, I'll scream, I'll shout, I'll this, that, and the other. And the number one answer was, put your seatbelt on. Simple thing. Put your seatbelt on. God gives us a seatbelt. The seatbelt is fastened. It's tied to our faith. Because when we're secure, then now we can deal with the bumps and the bruises that are gone. And we don't have to doubt. Verse 7, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. God, who blesses all liberally, is letting us know in the end, you have lost your reward. You will not receive what you thought you had coming, what had been promised to you. Why? Because you doubted the divine. And so don't look for a reward. Well, this ain't heaven to me. I don't know about you, but I know based off of what I see in today's life, what I've experienced in today's life, no one can tell me that there's not something better laid up for me. The Bible confirms it, and I want it. And in order for me to get it, I must live the right life through faith. And I'm willing, and I'm striving with every fiber in my body to serve God better tomorrow than I have right now. I'm learning to lean strongly on Jesus. For the Bible tells us that a man who doubts is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. What is that really saying? Your spirituality is bipolar. What you think is not what it is, because you've contaminated it with doubt. In the Garden of Eden, Satan pierced Eve's positioning by changing one word. I see you, Floyd Barnes. God bless you, Doc. Probably at work. I'm glad you're here with viewers. One word when he added not. And because Eve allowed Satan's positioning into her psyche, it caused her to act differently. And when she acted differently, it spiraled to something else. Now she gave to what she would, what was forbidden, to her husband that was with her, who should have been a stopgap, but he didn't. And now they find themselves at distance from God, even though God's right there. And God has to ask the question, where are you? Woo! God asks us every day, where are you? Oh, sure, you have 20/20 vision. Sure, you see clearly with your glasses off, but where are you? Where are you spiritually? Where is your faith? Faith will take you to heaven, or doubt will let you live with the devil. If you're dealing with something that you need prayer for, I see you, Floyd Barnes. We'll add that to our prayer. If you're struggling with something, you have not been all that you should be. The Bible says that now faith, when? Right now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's evidence admissible in Jesus' court of things not seen. Did you hear me? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6, but without it, it's impossible to please God. So my question to you, are you here to please God? Or are you here to please you? Will you dance for the divine? Or will you do a Bojangles for the devil? Whatever your decision is, Jesus says, come unto me. He's pleading, he's begging, he's asking. See, we serve a God that has everything, that does not force us. He's begging us, imploring with us, pleading with us to give our life to him. Why? Because he knows what he can do with a ruptured life that can't be done without belief in him. But he don't want doubt. He wants to diminish doubt so that he can magnify the Messiah in your life. We sang the song, My God is Real. Is he real to you? There are some things I may not know. There are some places I cannot go. But I am sure, I'm certain of one thing, that my God, personal testimony, is real. For I can feel him in my heart. But Prince, you didn't point your heart down. No. Not this blood pump. This is not this blood pump. The center of where you make your decisions at. The temporal lobe of your brain. God wants to drive in the driver's seat. He's not riding in the back. He wants to drive you to eternity. And people that are double-minded are driven crazy because they won't let God take the wheel. Let go of the wheel. Give it to God today. Let the Lord handle your problems. You don't have to worry about a job. God has a job for you. Christianity, saving souls, is your number one profession. The byproduct of being able to take care of your other thing, God gives you that as a resource, as an add-on. But if that goes away and that door closes, another will open up. Why? Because your consistency with God. Consistency is the key to great results. Christ for all crises. Amen, somebody. If you're here today and your trials have burdened you down, you need to take a new look at them. You need to start thanking the Lord for them. You need to extract what you can extract, good and bad, from them, so that you can learn from them and be able to help somebody else go through. Because God did not let it kill you, although you feel like it's a backbreaking moment. He woke you this morning. Spirit is in your body. And he started you on your way. How do I come to God, Brother Preacher? I'm so glad you asked that question. For those that are not members of the blood-bought institution, the only church you can read about in the Bible. But Jesus says in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock, this bedrock truth, I will build my church. And in 33 AD, those were added to the church daily, such as should be saved, obeying the apostles' doctrine. And these were hand-picked apostles, not man-made apostles. Hand-picked apostles by Christ, who saw Christ, walk with Christ, and he gave them direction. If you're here today, you need help. Jesus has come. Unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I see you, Daryl DeBerry. Praise God for you, Doc. Take this yoke upon me and learn from me, for I'm meek and lowly. You shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Brother Preacher, it's not easy. I will help you. I'll walk with you. We're online. You can reach me on Facebook. You can give me your phone number. I'll call you. You can call in right now. We'll talk right now. 619-924-0767. Call in right now. 619-924-0767. We'll talk right now. I have time because God had time for me. If you're here and you need Jesus, by hearing, believing, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He's rewarded them that diligently seek him. Must cause you to repent of your sins. Luke 13:3-5. Except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Be buried. You mean confess the sweetest name never roll off a mortal's tongue. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must believe that he is. He that confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And he that denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10:32. And then be willing to be buried in water in the grave of baptism for the remission of your sin. Immersed in water to rise to a new creation in Christ Jesus. Peter says in Acts 2:37-38, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of our sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, the Abrahamic promise is unto you, to your children, and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto himself. You don't listen to Peter, listen to Paul. Romans 6:3-4, know you not that so many of us have been baptized into Christ's death. Therefore, we are what? Buried with him by baptism into death, immersed into water to death. That Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also walk in the newness of life. And then Jesus says in Mark 16:15-16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You can't be christened. You can't be poured. You can't be dry cleaned. You must be immersed in water for the remission of your sins to rise. And prior to that, you must believe and know what you're doing. What if I struggle afterwards? That's why fellowship is important. That's what we as Christians are here for, to help strengthen you, to help build you up, to help you to live faithful unto death, to get back on the horse even though you may fall off. See, Christ don't just give you a second chance. He gives you another chance. And the blessing about Christ's church is you can't join the church of Christ. You can't join the only church you can read about in the Bible. You cannot join the church that wears his name. You must be added by process of salvation. Baptism does now save you. Once you've been added, no one can take you out. The problem with joining is when you join something and they vote you in or accept you, it's almost like signing a contract. When your contract is up, they have the ability to get rid of you. Move on. There's no attachment beyond that day. But when you affirm yourself to Jesus, God don't never let you go. Although you may turn your back on him. Don't turn your back on him today. Surrender to him today. Call in if you like, 619-924-0767. We'll talk to you right now. We'll sing a song of encouragement, and then I'll let you go for the evening. Come and go to that land. Come and go to that land. Why don't you come and go to that land where I am bound? Well, I have a Savior in that land. I have a Savior in that land. Well, I have a Savior in that land where I'm bound. There's peace and happiness in that land. A peace and happiness in that land. There's peace and happiness in that land where I'm bound. Well, I have a Savior in that land. Yes, I have a Savior in that land. Well, I have a Savior in that land where I'm bound. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for who you are and what you do. I ask you to continue to strengthen these souls that have turned in today. I ask you to continue to bless them and keep them and touch them with your finger of love. Brother Floyd Barnes is asking for prayer and strength and asking for better decision-making in life. Father, we ask you to touch this brother, lovely brother, strengthen him in ways you know he stands in need of. Give him the provisions he needs to keep on keeping on. Father, we love you. We adore you this day. And we ask you to correct us from the wrong, build us up when we're weak, and strengthen us when we've been torn down. We love you. We adore you. This is Jesus' name. Let us collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. Do something for somebody that they can't repay you for. Give them Jesus Christ and them crucified. We love you. Have a great evening. And we'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., for good news you can use. And we'll pray. If you have a prayer, meet me at 6 a.m. God bless.